Om Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddha Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Dhanamana Namaste Sarasutundeve Gauravani Vasharne Nirvishesha Shunivari Paskatyade Siddharani Om Agyana Tivanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovisham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagurdatam Sahagana Raganatam Vidam Dham Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Dvitam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Yunabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Siddhidevi Pranamami Hridriye Vanchakapa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyakacha Patitana Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Maha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Paramitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 15 The Pandavas Retire Timely Text Number 36 Yadā mukunda bhagavān imam mahim Jahau svatthanva shravaniya sakkata Yadāhar eva pratibhuda chetasam Abhadra hetu kaler anva vartata Yada when Mukunda Lord Krishna Bhagavan the personality of Godhead Imam this Mahim, earth. Jahau, left. Svatanva, with his self-same body. Shravaniya, Satkata, hearing about him is worthwhile. Sada, at that time. Aha eva, from the very day. Apriti Buddha Chaitasam. Of those whose minds are not sufficiently developed. Abhadra Hetu. Cause of all ill fortune. Kali Anvavartata. Kali fully manifested. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, left this earthly planet with in his self-same form, from that very day, Kali, who had already partially appeared, became fully manifest to create inauspicious conditions for those who are endowed with a poor fund of knowledge. Please repeat. When the personality of Godhead,
Lord Krishna,
left this earthly planet
in his self-same form,
from that very day,
Kali,
who had already partially appeared, became fully manifest to create inauspicious conditions for those who are endowed with a poor fund of knowledge. Purport. The influence of Kali can be enforced only upon those who are not fully developed in God consciousness. One can neutralize the effects of Kali by keeping oneself fully under the supreme care of the personality of Godhead. The age of Kali ensued just after the battle of Kurukshetra, but it could not exert its influence because of the presence of the Lord. The Lord, however, left his earthly planet in his own transcendental body, and as soon as he left, the symptoms of Kali Yuga, as were envisioned by Maharaj Yudhisthira, prior to Arjuna's arrival from Dwarka, began to manifest. Maharaj Yudhisthira rightly conjectured on the departure of the Lord from the earth. As we have already explained, the Lord left our sight just as when the sun sets is out of our sight. Tell the text again. Yada mukundo bhagavan imam mahim chahau satanva shravaniya satkata tadahar eva pratibuddha chaitasam abhadra hetu kalir anvavartata. When the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, left this earthly planet in his self-same form, from that very day, Kali, who had already partially appeared, became fully manifest to create inauspicious conditions for those who were endowed with a poor fund of knowledge. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Prasharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskadya Desatarna. Krishne Svadharma Upagate Jnana Dharma Jnana Dvi Saha Kolo Nashta Drishamesha Purarnarko Dunoditaha. Apparently Krishna has left the planet 5,000 years ago because Krishna again appeared 500 years ago as Lord Chaitanya. But somehow or another it appears that Krishna is not present before us. And if Krishna is not there, there can't be real knowledge and there can't be real religious principles. Therefore, without knowledge, one is blind. Andha yatan there. Upagiyamanas te pisha tantra uru dami bada. People are blind because they don't even know who they are. If you don't know who you are, you don't know who anyone else is, you don't know what's going on, and you're thinking what's going on is completely opposite of what's really going on, you're not only blind, but you're stupid. And everything you hear is misdirecting you. If a person's blind, it's bad enough. And if there's a blind man, he's about to walk over a cliff, and you're saying, yeah, that's right, keep on going, you'll be all right. No worries, Mike, she'll be right. So this is the age of, not only people are blind and stupid, as it says, but they have a very short period of life. And they're not very happy either. that in this age of Kali, people have but short lives. So the word for life is ayu. So people are short lives, alpa, ayu, alpa medasa. Alpa, how's that first start? Prayena yapusha jana, kalavasmi yuge jana. So, what's the first word? Prayena yapusha shabda, kalavasmi yuge jana. Manda samandamatiyo manda bhaga upadrutaha. That people have but short lives, they're lazy, lazy in the matter of spiritual realization. For sense gratification, they'll jump over a bridge or a. If there's a football, then people are crowding in there to watch people kick a ball around. So for that, they're not lazy. What is the value? What do they actually get from seeing a ball going here and there? There's no value. Their lives are just as miserable. They don't make any money. They lose money. They lose time. They lose everything. But they're happy just to see the ball go this way, and they're unhappy to see it go the other way. So this is called Manda Sumanda Mataya Manda Bhagu Padrutaha. They're lazy. They're unlucky. They're misdirected, and they're always disturbed. But behind Kali Yuga, there's a greater plan, simply not to make people foolish and disturbed, but to reduce them to surrender to Krishna. To bring them to the point where they see no other alternative but to surrender to Krishna. Because there won't be any alternative. Right now, there are seemingly so many alternatives. You can drink this beer or that beer. You can shoot yourself in the head with a bullet, or you can hang yourself. People are looking that there are so many different opportunities. And every day, everything, as it says in Kali Yuga, tatath chanudinam dharma, day after day, dharma will be reduced. Tatastranudinam dharma satvam shocham dayashama. And as dharma is reduced, then cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy, tolerance, they're reduced. Kalena balena raja. Day after day, these things are diminishing. What was completely unacceptable 50 years ago, that is what everyone is expected to do. 50 years ago, if someone got divorced, it was a great scandal. But nowadays, people get divorced. If they're not divorced, people are wondering what's wrong with you. Why are you together so long? There must be something wrong. As one devotee, her mother was telling her, because this devotee had been married for 15 years to the same person. Not married, they were living together. They had 3 children. So one day this devotee couple decided to get married after living together for 15 years. So the mother became very disturbed and went to the daughter and said, "Are you sure he's the right one?" So people are, every day, all the different religious principles are gradually diminishing day after day. Cleanliness. They say on the airplanes, they did some survey for the airplane. Well, actually, what to speak of the airplanes. In England, they went all around England, and they found that all of England, all the public buildings, everywhere they could find, they did swab samples. It's all covered with human stool. Because people don't wash their hands after they look at it, they look relatively clean, they think it's all right, no worries. So everywhere they touch is just like, gets covered with stool. That's why you find less cockroaches in England, because the cockroaches have fled. Because it's so unclean that they don't want to be there. That's not true. And truthfulness, we know that, practically speaking, the first word out of everyone's mouth is a lie. If you're on book distribution, you ask for a donation, they're walking out of a store with, you know, 15 bags in their hand, and you get, say, can you give a donation? They say, I have no money. And then you convince them, they open it, you know, if you give $1, they open their wallet, and, you know, their wallet is full with $100 notes. You say, what's that? Oh, it doesn't belong to me. It's my friend's. I'll be right back. I'll go to the ATM and I'll get a donation for you. Stand right there. Don't move. So generally speaking, the first thing out of people's mouth is a lie. As I said last year, you know how you know when a politician is lying? How you can tell? Well, their mouth is moving. What's that?
It means always, because the mouth is open.
Yeah. And mercy and tolerance. These things have no meaning. If you're down, you're up, then they throw you down. When you're down, then they kick you. And if you're still moving, then they stomp on you. Until you stop moving. Then they become merciful. After they take everything you have. In Peru, they have what was called piranhas. You know what a piranha is? So they had groups of 30, 40 little kids. Someone would be walking on the street at night, and they'd all attack him. And the only thing they'd usually leave him with was his skin, if he was lucky. Because everything else would disappear. That's why they're called piranhas. Little fish, they have these big teeth. And so they take everything he had, his clothes, everything he had. So that's, in this age, there's no Dharma, and without Dharma, there is no question of religious principles. And when religious principles disappear, then Bali, strength and memory, and all the other good qualities, Balena Kaliya Rajan, Nakshantya Yor Balam Smriti, all these other things will disappear also. So in Kali Yuga, there's no Dharma, there's no understanding what moksha is. There's no aim for liberation. There's only economic development for sense gratification. And because there is no religion, people don't even know what economic development is. They think if they have a metal and plastic car, they've made some economic development. They don't understand, as Krishna says, anad bhavati bhutani. All living entities exist on food grains. That everyone is, the first necessity is eating, not a car. They'll work all day and night to pay for their car, to pay for their clothes, to pay for their house, but they don't even know how to eat. They don't even know they're supposed to wash their hands before they eat. What to speak of afterwards? I guess if they're hungry, they can always lick their hand. They don't know what to eat, how to eat, when to eat. They don't even know why they're eating. They have no idea. Yet they'll work so hard. But the food is, they don't care if it's genetically modified, what kind of preservatives and insecticides, herbicides, pesticides, whatever side they're on, doesn't matter. They don't care what side it is. because they've lost perspective on what is actually a value. They're happy to walk around in some kind of $3,000 suit, but they don't even know. They wash the suit very well. They have a dry press and cleans, everyone can admire it. But they themselves don't even take a shower or a bath. So the suit is very nice, but they're not very nice. They want everything to be very nice, but they don't know what nice is and what not so nice is. Therefore, they've lost their intelligence. And why have they lost their intelligence? Because instead of thinking about Krishna, or at least Krishna's words, or at least trying to see things as Krishna sees them, they simply under the spell of thinking that the purpose of life is to gratify their senses unto the end of life. Therefore, their whole meditation is, what can I eat? Where can I sleep? Who to have sex with? And how to defend myself. That's their whole meditation. And their minds are so distracted. Just like if you were a tiger, once a month you go and you find some prey and kill it, and for the rest of the month, you know, you'd probably starve. There wasn't much to look at in the jungle. Tigers don't go around, wow, look at that tiger. They're not really, you know, so much interested in all the different tigresses. Wow, look what she's wearing. They're not so much distraction. You know, let's go and watch the deer in the park. You know, the tigers, once a month, they kill some animal, they eat it, and for the rest of the month, they pretty much just sleep. Not much to do, not much to look at, not much to think about. Their minds are not very disturbed because there's nothing to be disturbed about. But human beings, they're so disturbed that if they have the commercials on television, they can't last for more than 10 seconds. Otherwise, people get bored. Wow, that's such a long commercial. It's been 15 seconds. It's still on. So everything has to go faster and faster and faster. And people are becoming slower and slower and slower. Their minds are becoming more and more slow. Now, 1 + 1, they need a calculator to figure it out. You ask them to add up 5 numbers, they can't do it because they never learned it and they can't concentrate so long. After the 3rd number, they forget. They have to go back. 3 + 2 + 5 + 7 + 8. What was that first number again? And yet people are proud, like anything, how advanced they are. We're the most advanced civilization that ever existed. You know, we can gratify our senses quicker than any other civilization. We're connected by the internet. And if in the middle of the night we wake up and we don't have pizza, if that comes to our mind, we can press a few numbers on our internet connection, and immediately someone jumps on a motorcycle, speeds at 120 miles an hour, and arrives at our door just in time for us to open it and eat the first piece of pizza. And therefore, we have almost a perfect civilization. As I said, now they have what's called a copy machine where they can copy anything. They can make a gun, they can make a table. Their perfection will be, you just type in a few numbers and it copies a piece of pizza. You know, and you can copy, you know, you have copy a whole pizza, and then if you want, you can put 2 in instead of 1, and it copies 2 pizzas for it.
Yeah.
And then the antacid pills, you can also, you have everything set just by your copy machine. So that's the idea, is that eventually they hope that without any endeavor, without any thought behind it, we can simply sit there and open our mouths and we just press a few buttons, and whatever we press, something falls into our mouth. We never get out of bed because at any moment we want to go to sleep. We just woke up 5 minutes later. Go to sleep again.
Yes, sir.
So the perfection, they think to gratify the senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization. So now they can't go all the way downtown or to the shopping mall to figure out what they want. They have to go on the internet and look around and order it from the internet. Because the shopping mall is too far away to go and buy something. Too much endeavor. Therefore, when Krishna left, people are simply becoming more and more bewildered, trying to find something. Actually, what they're looking for is Krishna, but then Netevidu Swarthikatim He Vishnu. They don't know that the goal of life is to attain Krishna. Dharashya ye bahya artamanina. Therefore, in the absence of Krishna, they're searching for pleasure, just like an animal dying from thirst in the desert is looking for some water. But all they're seeing is mirages, and they're running out towards the mirages. And the people who are leading society, they know people are thirsty, and therefore they're taking advantage of them. And advertising, this is what you're looking for, this is what you're looking for, that's what you're looking for, one more step and you're there. Put yourself more and more and more and more into debt, more and more, buy these things. It wasn't quite it. It wasn't the iPad 4 that you were looking for. It's the 5. Or the 6. Or the 20th. Just one more step. You're almost there. You're almost in Vaikuntha. Just work a little harder. Have more faith. Surrender to us. Give up all other varieties of religion and surrender to us. So people are taking that part of Bhagavad Gita. They're giving up all religion and surrendering to the materialists in the hope that they'll protect them. Therefore, Śrīla Vyāsadeva, in spite of having all material knowledge, and basically speaking, knowledge of Brahman, he was frustrated because he didn't actually experience what he was looking for. Therefore, Narada Muni told him to meditate. But meditate on who? Bhakti Yogena Manasi, Samyak Pranihita Male, Apaishat Purusham Purna, Maya Chadhyada Pashraya. So by the process of Bhakti Yoga, we can't think about Krishna if we're distracted by trying to lord it over the material energy. If we're flying at 100 miles an hour, 300 kilometers, in one way, we can't expect to arrive in the opposite direction. If our minds are racing after sense gratification, we can't expect to meditate on Krishna. Therefore, one has to give up this idea that I'm going to lord it over material nature and acquire so many things for my sense gratification. One has to engage the senses instead in Krishna's service. It doesn't mean we give up eating, but we eat Krishna prasada. It doesn't mean we give up sleeping, but we try and dream about Krishna. It doesn't mean even Prabhupada said we give up sex life, but sex life for having children to raise them in Krishna consciousness. And as far as defending goes, we give up defending our own false ego. Instead, we try to defend Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Krishna's devotees. To utilize things in Krishna's service instead of utilizing them simply and only for the service of our senses. Then one can actually become capable of meditating upon Krishna. Bhakti yogena manasi, samyak pranita amale, without any dirt, amale, without any contamination of material desire. Apaishat purusham purna, then we can see Krishna who is so great. Maya yad tadapashyam, and even Maya is taking shelter of Krishna. Yayasamoitam jiva, atmakam trigunatmakam, paropi manyate narato, tatkritam pratipadyate. That all the jivas in this world, they're covered by the illusory energy, misidentifying themselves with their bodies and mind, and suffering the threefold miseries. But it's possible to get out of it if they become Krishna conscious. Anartho pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga de hokshaje lokasya janato vidma satyam satvika satva satvit sat sat satvika no. What is it? Last word? Last. Samhita. So therefore the learned Srila Vyasadeva, he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not an ordinary book. It's a book to help us become Krishna conscious. For those who actually want to meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has unlimited beauty, unlimited strength, unlimited fame, unlimited knowledge, unlimited wealth, unlimited renunciation, if we want to actually meet such a person, then we have to study Srimad Bhagavatam and follow its directions according to our capacity. Otherwise, if we're not interested in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we don't develop an attraction for the Bhagavatam, we'll simply be reading the newspapers, thinking that that's important information. If we don't read the newspapers, then we'll simply be listening to gossip, even if the gossip in ISKCON. Did you hear what happened to so-and-so? No. I knew it would happen. 5 years ago, he took my gloves from it. It's the reaction. I was wondering what was going to happen. Finally, there is a God. If we don't develop an interest here to see things through the eyes of the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, then we'll see according to our mental conceptions that we already have. Instead of seeing everyone in relationship to Krishna, we'll judge everything and everyone in relationship to how they can help me gratify my senses. Therefore, only those who are actually trying to take shelter of Krishna, just like in the rainy season, one cannot avoid the rain, but if one has a very good umbrella, then the rainy season will not affect one. Similarly, we are not going to stop Kali Yuga. The devotees wonder, when will the golden age come? No, the golden age comes for each one of us. One time Prabhupada was one man asked Prabhupada. He stood up and challenged Prabhupada. Kind of challenge. He said, Swamiji, this is earlier. He said, Swamiji, how is your movement helping this world? So Prabhupada asked him, are you chanting Hare Krishna? He said, yes. He said, is it helping you? He said, yes. He said, well, that's how this movement is helping the world. So we're not this idea, when will Kali, the golden age start? Well, it started at least for us when we started to chant Hare Krishna. To expect that everyone, sometimes the devotees were even speculating, maybe the golden age will start when they have an atomic war and therefore there's only a couple of cities left and then we can spread it to every city on the planet. Fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction. No, it starts in everyone's heart as soon as we take shelter of the holy name and give up the idea that we're going to enjoy the material energy. That somehow or another we're going to find happiness and peace through sense gratification. Otherwise, if we're rushing after sense gratification, it'll take us away from Krishna. And if we actually take shelter of Krishna, then gradually the desire for material sense gratification will gradually diminish. So all the four orders of life, whether one is a brahmachari, or grihastha, vanaprastha, or a sannyasi, everyone is supposed to follow the four of the principles. Then it's possible to become Krishna conscious, gradually. And even if we have difficulty following the four of the principles sometimes, but at least if we actually take seriously the holy name and realize that we should be regulating our sense gratification, then gradually the desire for sinful activities will diminish. But one has to understand that life is not meant to just to gratify the senses. It's meant to become conscious of Krishna. Then gradually one can make some spiritual advancement. And what would seem impossible, as Prabhupada said, his godbrother was approached by Lord Zetlin, who used to be the governor of Bengal. So Lord Zetlin was a relatively pious person. He appreciated Veda culture. He approached one of Prabhupada's godbrothers and said, "Can you make me into a Brahmin?" And the godbrother said, "Of course, no problem. Just follow four principles. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling." And Lord Zetlin thought and said, "Impossible." So what would seem relatively impossible becomes possible if one actually learns the science of taking shelter of the holy name and recognizes the fact it's not a good idea to look around and look for victims in the material world to enjoy. Because ultimately that's what it is. Let me enjoy your senses. Let me enjoy my senses by promising you sense enjoyment. Actually, my only interest is I'm going to gratify my senses by utilizing you, but I'm promising you it's for your benefit. Nowadays, if they want to get the resources out of a country, they say we're going to liberate it. Give it democracy. Give everyone there the free choice. Whether you want to be killed by our bombers or our rifles. Poison gas, whatever we have. Because we're going to liberate you. We're going to take everything out of the country and leave you with nothing. Similarly, that's more or less the mentality of everyone. I love you, I love you, I love you. I love everything you have and I'm going to take it too. So therefore it's said that generally what begins courting winds up in the court. Because in Kali Yuga there's no principle other than exploit each other, because that's all people are taught. There's no idea in any relationship, practically speaking, that it should actually be based upon serving Krishna. Serving Krishna, for us, is fortunate because we have direct service to Krishna. But the whole Vedic culture, even in any kind of civilization, because civilization is modeled, previous civilizations, even the Chinese civilization, all the different etiquettes and culture was all based around the Vedic culture. Therefore, there was some respect for others, there was some appreciation, there was some attitude of service, some attitude of responsibility. So that was actually part of the Veda. That's all coming from the Veda culture. So when people take to the Veda culture and follow it, then gradually they become actually civilized. But because they're rejecting all Veda culture, they're rejecting culture. Now it's American culture or Australian culture. The highlight of the culture is where everyone crowds around. They don't go to church anymore. They go to the stadium to watch the gods play. And they're passed up. So this is not really culture. This is simply, you know, well, something other than culture. But if we introduce, for ourselves at least, the Hare Krishna mantra, and we understand the value, stop thinking that the materialists are actually have won over us because they have more varieties of sense enjoyment than we do. They can do whatever their senses demand, and we're restricting them, and therefore we feel frustrated. Why can't I be free like they are? No, we should give up that attitude and understand that actually we're fortunate that we can restrain our senses from bringing us down to the darkest regions of ignorance and hell. Instead, by restraining our senses, we can bring our mind to Krishna consciousness and ultimately experience the happiness of associating with Krishna and his ever-liberated associates. That will protect us from Kali Yuga, which is ever more all-pervasive, ever more demanding that everyone conform to the standards of Kali Yuga. And eventually, if the devotees get strong enough, we might even get some farms and some other means of actually protecting us from the influence of Kali Yuga, where the food is contaminated, the water is contaminated, the air is contaminated, people's minds are contaminated, the goal of life is the wrong one, they're going the wrong direction, and they're demanding that everyone follow them, or else you're considered to be, who knows, even a terrorist. As I mentioned, in Belgium, the Hare Krishna movement was declared a dangerous cult because of two reasons. One is that we're vegetarians. And the other is that we go on the street and chant the names of God. So this, therefore we're declared a dangerous cult. And no school, we were permitted to have a temple within so many hundreds of meters from a school, so we wouldn't contaminate the minds of the children with vegetarianism and the holy names of God. So Prabhupada said, so far we're fortunate because they're not throwing us to the lions. What's that? Yes. The Christians, the lions. I guess they don't want to contaminate their lions. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
When it was accidental.
Oh, that was like, I think it was 20 years ago. It wasn't a law, it started in France. They came up with this idea, they had some kind of commission. The anti-cult people pressured the government. The government came up with this commission and they made up a list, I think of 100 dangerous cults, of which we were in the top 10. And then Belgium happens to be a neighbor of France. And at least the French, Belgium is actually, practically speaking, two countries. One is the Walloon part, the other is the Flemish part. But the Walloon part is the French part. Flemish means almost like they're Dutch. They speak a language, Flemish, which is practically the same as Dutch. But in the Walloon part is the French part. So they follow very closely France. And because France did it, therefore they felt obliged to do it also. Come up with a list of 100 and so many cults. Of which, of course, because we were in the top 10 in France, they didn't want to leave us out in Belgium. But they never really did anything about it very much. Except they for a while, I think they raided some places, Buddhist places. They came in with their machine guns and trampled over their buildings. But besides that, after a while they got bored because they had other more interesting things to think about, more other diversions to put them people's minds. Part of the reason also, just as a matter of history, is that in Belgium, they discovered all these children got kidnapped. And they were discovered that there was this kidnapper. He was kidnapping children. And he was torturing them and molesting them and videotaping them. And all the videotapes, they wound up with the heads of the government and society buying these videotapes of all these children who were being molested and tortured. 7-year-old, 8-year-old children. And of course they were killed and they found them. They were tortured to death and they were found. And they linked this man with the heads of government. And therefore they were having these protests. Hundreds and thousands of Belgians were out in the street protesting that there should be some investigation. And this went on for over a month, for months. And they didn't do anything. So finally, this man was in jail. Well, during the protest, they let the guy out who had molested and tortured these children. Because he was old. I guess he threatened them. And then finally, they put him back into jail. And then they needed something probably to divert people's minds. So they came up with a dangerous cult thing. Actually, it's not these child molesters that are the problem. It's these dangerous cults. So there, people are very foolish, and they got distracted by this. They had a huge, dangerous cult thing. People's minds got distracted, at least some people. And then the whole thing died down, and they forgot about it. They didn't do an investigation about all these different heads of society, the government officials, the wealthiest people, heads of the corporations, who were having children tortured and molested. That's the Kali Yuga. Just like in England, there was this, I don't know his name, he was a very famous person on the BBC. He was knighted by the Queen of England. He was friends with the Prince of Wales, and he was somebody, very popular personality. And it wound up, he was molesting. They have complaints between 400 and 500 children he was molesting. And it's of course the same thing, it's his all linked to the prominent people within England, and they're demanding investigations, but we'll see what comes out of it. It's the BBC himself. He was working for he was like one of the famous people on the BBC for years. Well, with that happy note, any other questions?
Thank you, Mark.
Yes. Well, that's an issue. What is self-same form? It means that actually we have a form right now. Everyone has a spiritual form. And even in this lifetime, we can actually revive our spiritual form and be in the spiritual world. The fact is, we never are in a material world because we're transcendental. Just like water and oil doesn't really mix. It may apparently mix, but they don't really mix. So the soul of Krishna says, Anaditvam nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyayam Sharira. Those who can see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body, or Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything nor is he entangled. If we revive our Krishna consciousness, then we'll be in the spiritual world already. We don't have to leave our body to be in the spiritual world. In the self-same body, we can be in the spiritual world. There may be instances like Dhruva Maharaj boarding the airplane and then his body became spiritualized. But generally speaking, we find, just like Arjuna, because which is referring to the Pandavas, we find that Arjuna was in a different form when he was with Krishna speaking to the Sangha. So obviously, although he's in Krishna's transcendental Leela, going through the universes, he's not always in the form of Arjuna. So whether Arjuna, the soul is eternally liberated, but whether he takes on different forms in Krishna's pastimes, that seems to be apparently the according to Krishna, when he said, I spoke to the sun god, you were there also. But Arjuna, he's also in the spiritual world eternally. And in the part of the spiritual world where there is Mathura, or actually he's at Hastinapur. So he's eternally there also in the spiritual world with Krishna. But what does it mean that we're going to leave our body with the self-same form we have now? Probably we wouldn't want that. Better we get our spiritual body, because we are a spiritual body. Why would we want to go back to this body? Or why would someone want to go back with a seemingly material form if they have a real spiritual form? But Krishna, his form when he appears, is not a material form, it's a spiritual form. But that doesn't mean that all his devotees are necessarily appearing in a spiritual form. They're a spiritualized form. Because like if you have put an iron to the fire, and it becomes hotter and hotter and hotter, then it acts like fire. So there's really no difference between an iron, the way it acts, when it's after it's been in the fire. But it still is iron. So a spiritualized form, it acts the same thing as a spiritual form. But generally when the devotees they leave, they go back in their original form. Therefore those who join Krishna, like the sages and Danda Piranya, who saw Lord Ramachandra, they appeared as gopis. They didn't appear as sages in Krishna's pastimes. They came in a form, their spiritual form as gopis. We'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.